إني ناديتك وسعيت، إني استهديتك فهديت، بالقرآن أنرت طريقي.
السلام عليكم، حليمة هي Your Quran Lifestyle Coach.
إني استهديتك فهديت، بالقرآن أنرت طريقي.
You know, a lot of people, they go through life feeling really bad about themselves, or they don't seem to have this resilience to be able to handle the hardships and challenges that come their way, where they don't really quite understand themselves emotionally. So they go through their day on this type of emotional roller coaster, up and down, reacting to everything and everyone around them, whether that's feelings of sadness or fear, anger or hurt. Everything seems to be situational and it's a constant battle to feel good. Now, I hope that's not the case for you, but for a lot of people it is. So today, inshallah, I want to talk about emotional freedom, how we can heal ourselves and how we can start to feel happy, inshallah. You know, the subject of emotions is a really important one, because whether we realize it or not, our emotions, they influence the way that we perceive things. They influence the decisions that we take and actions that we take. And naturally, all of these things, they affect the results that we achieve in life, right? They impact the quality of our lives as well. And emotions are something that we all relate to, whether we're male or female, regardless of our age, our race, our background. Emotions are something that we undeniably experience on a daily basis throughout our entire lives. Yet, subhanAllah, despite that, we're taught hardly nothing about them in school, right? Or growing up within our families most of the time. So today, inshallah, I want to specifically talk about four myths on emotions that many people, Muslims included, we've come to commonly believe and to internalize within ourselves that greatly hold us back. They hold us back from being able to really heal and to find peace with ourselves. They hold us back from truly feeling happy and spiritually fulfilled as well. You know, essentially, they hold us back from reaching our full potential, both in our worldly matters as well as our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And it's even more important that we have this discussion today, because it might actually surprise some of you, but these four common myths that we're going to talk about, they actually contradict what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about emotions in the Quran. You know, I've heard these myths circulated within our communities for as long as I can remember. You know, whether that's people that had discussions with their friends and family that I overheard, or, you know, just even passing comments made at Islamic lectures. But these are ideas that have never sat well with me. They have always really bothered me. And then when I went through an emotionally traumatic experience myself a number of years back, I remember I took it on myself to really dive in deep and study and reflect what the Quran really says about emotions. And subhanAllah, you know what I found? It was life-changing. It completely changed the way that I looked at myself and treated myself. It changed the way that I viewed other people and how I interacted with them emotionally as well. It really did help me to heal. It brought me such peace and such happiness, alhamdulillah. And you know, it actually continues to do so with every single new hardship and challenge that comes in my life as well. And I know that what the Quran has to offer, it can gift you with the same, inshallah. So today we're going to talk about four Quranic truths on emotion to help us feel emotionally free. Okay, so the first myth about emotions that most of us have come to believe, which are completely incorrect, is that our emotions are a reflection of our iman, of our faith. That somehow our emotional state is reflective of the standing that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm sure you've heard it said to you or to someone that you know, statements like, oh, if you feel sad and depressed, it's a sign that you have weak iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have weak faith. Or if you suffer from some type of worry and anxiety, then you have a lack of tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lack of trust in Him. Or maybe you've heard things like anger, that's just something from the shaitan and it's a sign of bad character, nothing more than that. Or if you feel disappointed or disheartened, then you are displeased with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if you yearn for more, then you're simply just ungrateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, given you. And maybe you've even had things said to you like, you know, feeling too happy is a sign that you've become attached to the dunya instead of to the akhirah and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, as you can see through these examples, there is this kind of negative stigma that's attached to emotions and to us feeling them. And it's generally thought to be as a result of some type of spiritual weakness or disease that we have. But let me ask, you know, if that was true, then why do we have verses in the Quran like, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. The words of Prophet Yaqub when he was declaring his feelings of sadness and grief, you know, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the absence of Yusuf. If that was true, why do we have verses in the Quran like, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ. The words of Prophet Musa alayhi salam when he was admitting his feelings of fear to return to the, you know, his people because of that crime that he committed that they wanted to punish him for. Why do we have verses like وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّي مُوسَى فَارِغًا, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us of the aching and the sad emptiness in the heart of the mother of Musa when she parted from Musa at the river. Why do we have verses like فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًّا. Verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's telling us of the anguish and the despair that Maryam alayhi salam felt when she was going through that really painful process of giving birth to Isa. You know, these were people who perfected their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they still experienced deep, raw and intense emotions. So can you begin to see that there is this discrepancy between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us about emotions in the Quran and what we've commonly come to believe, particularly with our emotions somehow being indicative of our levels of iman. You know, the Quranic reality that is revealed to us through these kind of verses is that we don't experience emotions because of some bad spiritual standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we experience emotions because we're human. And emotions are part of the human experience. Okay, leading on from this point, let's discuss the second common myth about emotions. Because although some of us might accept the fact that yes, emotions are part and parcel of the human experience, there's still going to be some people I know who will believe that emotions are inferior aspects of our being. You know, we perceive them to be secondary to other aspects of ourselves, like our intellect, for example. So we kind of treat them like second-class citizens, right? You know, sometimes we dismiss our emotions, or we ignore them, or we label them as being unnecessarily dramatic, or we even consciously suppress them, etc. But you know, if we look at what the Quran teaches us about the role that emotions play in our life, inshallah we'll begin to correct this misunderstanding and actually start really appreciating our emotions for what they are, because they're key to our success. Okay, so when we turn to the Quran and we reflect on the role that our emotions play, you'll find that it actually ties in with our very existence on this earth. You know, the reason why we've been put on this earth in the first place, and that is to be tested. So we're told in the Quran that during our lives, we're going to be put on this earth to have our iman tested, to see which of us is true in faith. And that's because it's going to determine our place in the akhirah, right? Well, you know, despite the fact that all of our tests are completely different, they come in various different packages. If we were to really just sit and reflect, we would realize that fundamentally at the heart of things, at the crux of things, all of our tests are actually a test on our emotions. So let me give you a quick example. Let's say that somebody unfortunately loses their job, and now they're really worried about where they're going to get their money to pay the bills, you know, the rent and the food bills for next month. Let me ask you, is the real difficulty in that situation going to be found in the fact that they might have to sacrifice to live with family and friends or move into smaller accommodation? You know, is the real difficulty going to be found in the fact that they might need to just cut off some luxury items off the shopping list next month? No. You know, the real difficulty is actually going to lie in the experience of fear and worry while they're trying to figure out where they're going to get the money from. Or the difficulty for them might be found in feelings of blame and guilt for not better managing their finances or getting a better qualification for themselves. You know, perhaps for that person, their hardship might come in the feelings of anger that they experience because this whole problem might have come about because their boss unfairly dismissed them in the first place. Or for them, their difficulty might be in feelings of hurt. Because, you know, when they tell their family and friends about their situation, they might, you know, not get the response that they expected. They might get a lack of support. If you look into the Quran, you're going to find this reality highlighted for us a countless number of times. So for example, if you look at the story of Adam, when he was removed from Jannah and put onto this earth because of his sin, are we told that the hardship that he was tested with was the fact that he just simply no longer had access to all the luxuries of Jannah? No, we're told that Adam's removal from Jannah, it tested him in feelings of guilt. In other verses, we're told that Musa alayhi salam, you know, his stance against Fir'aun, it was a test in his feelings of fear. That Ya'qub alayhi salam, his separation from Yusuf tested him in feelings of sadness. That Yunus alayhi salam, his dealing with his people, it tested him in feelings of anger. We're told that Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know, his years of travel, it tested him in feelings of loneliness. We're told about Yusuf alayhi salam's continuous betrayal by people around him, it tested him in feelings of hurt. And you know, it's not just our so-called negative emotions, by the way, that are at the heart of our tests. Because even in our positive emotions and experiences, like happiness or excitement, we're tested in those too. And we're tested about whether we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are grateful to Him, right? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also included stories in the Quran like that of Qarun and Fir'aun, because they were individuals who were blessed with so much power and they were so happy because of that, so much wealth as well. But they were ungrateful and they associated their success to themselves rather than to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they failed their tests. And you know, it's really important as Muslims that we recognize this significant role of our emotions in the tests that we have in life, because you know, if the real challenge and the difficulty in our tests in life, they lie in the effects that they have on our emotions, then logically the meaningful results, the failure or the success of those tests in life are going to be significantly influenced by the way that we manage our emotions. So subhanAllah, this subject of emotions is actually important for us to invest learning more about and training ourselves to manage really well, because it's not only going to help us to heal and to be happy in this life, but it's going to affect our ultimate happiness in the next. And alhamdulillah, the Quran is a fantastic way to start that process of education, because you know, the truths that it shares with us, it helps to kind of shed all these misconceptions that we have, shackled ourselves in, and it completely reforms the way that we see ourselves in the world, alhamdulillah. Okay, let's now talk about the third myth about our emotions. And that is the belief that some of our emotions are good while others are bad. So there's this idea that some of our emotions are deemed praiseworthy or acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while there are certain emotions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He frowns upon. And naturally, as believers who want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go out of our way to try to prevent and avoid ourselves from feeling those bad emotions, or we try to at least suppress or dismiss them if we do experience them. But you know, I found this belief to be false. Because when we turn to the Quran and we deeply reflect on what it teaches us about emotions, we come to that realization that feeling emotions in our hearts, in and of themselves, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. Because firstly, they're a natural human tendency that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed within us Himself. And secondly, because our emotions collectively, they serve a higher specific purpose that I'm going to talk about shortly, inshallah. You know, the real reason that I found that we come to this misconception, we incorrectly label our emotions as either good or bad, is because A, we equate them with our judgment of how, you know, the good and bad actions that people take in response to their emotions, so how they typically manage them in a healthy or a destructive way. And in some cases as well, B, is because of some misunderstandings that stem from not correctly understanding certain hadith and ayat of the Quran. Okay, so if we look in the Quran, to begin with, this notion of our emotions being something that are a natural tendency from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find in Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. You know, so I ask you, how is it that we can brand an emotion in and of itself as being bad when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that our joys and our sadnesses come from Him? That the emotions that cause us to both laugh and cry. So please note that it's two different ends of the spectrum that are specifically mentioned in the ayah, that they all come from the all good Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, like I said, it's a natural tendency that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed within us. And you know, I want to mention something as a side note here, by the way, about this verse and this surah that is so profoundly beautiful. And it kind of ties in with what we're talking about today. You know, this verse, the verses that precede it, it relates a lot to the skies high above us. So there's mention of stars, there's mention of the revelation descending, the noble angels in paradise, the lottery that's at the extreme of the seventh heaven. And the ayah number 42, right before the ayah that I shared with you, it tells us that everything ultimately goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so from all these verses, it is possible for a person to develop this sense of distance, this feeling that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so high above everything, that He's far away from us. And so subhanAllah, this verse that I shared with you, verse 43, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the one who causes us to laugh and to cry, it's said to be a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassuring us of His closeness to us. And this is because of the fact that our emotions come from deep within our hearts, and because, you know, the people usually who make us laugh and cry the most are those that we love, right? So subhanAllah, this verse is said to be a verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. And interestingly, it's associated with our emotions. And this is why I honestly find it so shocking that we, on the other hand, we've come to associate emotions with the opposite effect, with this distance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we claim things like, you know, by claiming sadness and depression is a sign of lack of iman, or that anxiety and worry is a lack of trust, etc., we've literally spun things 180 degrees, and yet we still wonder why so many people, they feel spiritually unhappy and unfulfilled, why so many people suffer from various different types of issues in our community that stem from not being able to emotionally heal well. It's because of these myths on emotion that we've created, that we literally have shackled ourselves with. And alhamdulillah, the Quran is here to free us with its truths. Now, I mentioned that emotions in and of themselves are not necessarily good or bad, and one of the reasons is because they actually serve a higher purpose. Now, as for those purposes, if we look in the field of personal development, it teaches us that our emotions are what's called action signals. So they essentially act like this type of internal compass that points us in the direction of something that we need to do. And when we turn to the Quran, interestingly, we find that the Quran actually supports this idea. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, you know, we will show them our signs in the universe and in of themselves, so wafi anfusihim, until it becomes manifest that this Quran is the truth. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says He's placed His ayat within us as well as around us. So our emotions are classified as ayat. And let me ask you, what is an ayat? What is the literal meaning of an ayat? You know, if you look at the main meanings derived from its root word, you get a better idea of that meaning. And those meanings include things like something that calls your attention, something that makes you wonder and be curious, something that has a meaning or a purpose and value to it. It means a sign, something that points you in the direction. So you find this idea of emotions being purposeful and acting as action signals that call our attention and direct us towards something to be this idea that's agreeable both between the fields of personal development and the Quran. And so we're going to explore, inshallah, exactly what is meant by an action signal exactly. You know, with so-called positive emotions, I think, you know, things like happiness and excitement and bravery, these things, it's kind of a given that they beautify and they enhance the human experience, right? And as action signals, what they do is they guide us and they signify a need within us to engage in acts of shukr, in acts of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's various ways we can do that, by saying alhamdulillah, giving sadaqah, you know, extending the kindness that was shown to us to other people. And when it comes to our emotions on the other side of the spectrum, you know, these so-called negative emotions like loneliness or anger or fear, they are signal and they indicate to us that there's something that's not quite right. So they basically act as kind of red warning flags that tell our conscious mind that there's some action that needs to be taken to resolve an issue. So for example, if you look in books of personal development, you'll find that fear, the emotion of fear, is code for our anticipation of something that's going to happen. So this emotion is sending our minds this message that we feel something's going to happen, and the relative call to action for that, to successfully manage that emotion, is for us to either A, prepare ourselves, you know, and equip ourselves for whatever it is we're anticipating from happening, or B, to alternatively do something to prevent that which we're anticipating from actually happening. And like I said, that's just the specific message and a call to action for that emotion, but each of these so-called negative emotions has their own message and their own call to action. So basically, in order for us to really manage our emotions and fulfill their purpose, which is to help us, inshallah, in order for us to heal and to be happy, we need to A, acknowledge what message they're sending us, realize what it is that that emotion is telling us is wrong, and B, need to take the necessary action, the call to action that they are guiding us in the way of doing. So I hope you can see, inshallah, that it's not necessarily our, you know, emotions in and of themselves, feeling them in our hearts, that's good or bad. As I mentioned, they're just a new, a natural human tendency, and they help to serve a purpose. But we've just formed that misconception because of the healthy or destructive ways that we see people commonly managing those emotions. Okay, the fourth myth about emotions that I want to talk about is this idea that we have no control over them. So many people, they suffer from this delusion that our emotions are something that is completely out of our control. It's something that just spontaneously happens in reaction to things that happen in our life. So it's a response to what people do to us or what people say to us. And because of that powerlessness and that lack of control that you get from believing these things, this is why a lot of people actually end up dreading emotions. You know, they treat them as if they're this type of virus that attack us when we're vulnerable and we fall sick to them, subhanAllah. And this belief is actually where a lot of our unhealthy habits in managing our emotions actually stem from. This is why a lot of people live with some very devastating impacts in their life. So some people, for example, they suppress their feelings and they suffer in silence. Or some people, you know, if they felt those feelings for so long, they go into denial, or they actively try to avoid feeling certain emotions, so it ends up controlling their whole life and trapping them. You know, some people, they try to avoid feeling emotions altogether and they end up substance abusing, or they overindulge in their feelings and make it part of their identity. So, you know, it's a bit like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they're invested in feeling that negative emotion long term. But you know, the truth is that we do have control over the management of our emotions. You know, if we're feeling an emotion, we can shift our emotional states that we find ourselves in. And we can even consciously choose to feel certain emotions that we want as well, using certain knowledge and certain techniques as well. If this wasn't the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wouldn't say in the Quran, "No doubt about it, hearing, the seeing, and the fu'ad, each will be asked about on the Day of Judgment." Let me explain. You know, it's commonly known that in the Quran, the word heart is qalb, right? And qalb is something, it means to change, because it's constantly changing, whether that's physically it's beating, and figuratively as well, our emotions are always changing. But there is actually another word used in the Quran for heart, and it's less common, and that's the word fu'ad. And fu'ad in Arabic, it comes from the word fa'ada, which means roasting. So in Arabic they say fa'ad al-laham, you know, to roast meat, so to put it under this intense pressure. So the idea here is, you know, of a heart being roasted, is this idea of a heart being intensified. So basically, in other words, when your emotions are fired up, whether you're extremely scared or extremely happy, extremely angry, extremely brave, this is when the term fu'ad is used. So you know, in the Quran, in that verse that I shared, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that on the Day of Judgment, we're going to be asked about what we heard, what we saw, and about our hearts, specifically about our emotionally charged hearts. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would never question us and hold us to account for something that we didn't have control over, right? So this verse is evidence that we do have control over the way that we manage our emotions. And you know, interestingly, this verse as well is also evidence that supports the previous point we talked about our emotions not being in and of themselves something that's positive or negative, but it's actually our management of our emotions that's either healthy or not. Because you know, when we're questioned on the Day of Judgment about what we see and we hear, for example, it's not the actual act of seeing and hearing that we're going to be held accountable for, right? It's our responses to it. So for example, if you witness an injustice in front of you, that injustice is not your fault necessarily, you know, it's not a sin that it happened, but it's the fact of how you responded to it that you'll be questioned about, right? So whether you tried to change it or whether you just turned a blind eye. If something inappropriate comes in front of you, it's not necessarily your sin if that came in front of you, but it's about how you managed it. Did you, turn away, or did you take a second glance, for example? Or even with hearing, you know, being amongst a group of people and someone starts backbiting, for example, you know, that act in itself is not a sin. It's not something that you're questioned for, but how you respond to it. So similarly, it's not about simply feeling our emotions in and of themselves in our hearts, that's good or bad, but how we manage them. And that's because, like we said, we do have control over managing our emotions. And interestingly, it's actually the management of our emotions that's going to affect our levels of iman, not simply just feeling them. Okay, so to tie everything together and to conclude this video, please remember that one of the first acts that you can do to really emotionally free yourself so that inshallah you can heal and be happy both in this life and in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to allow the Quran to unshackle all these myths about emotions that are holding you back and holding you down. And from those, you know, many truths about emotions taught to us in the Quran, some of which we've covered today, always remember that the way you feel right now, it's not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hates you, or that He's left you, or He wants you to hurt, or because you're a bad person who isn't worthy of anything else. You feel the way you do, not because of a weak iman or a bad spiritual standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because you're human. You know, you are a human being who was created with the ability to feel. And I know that the way you're feeling right now is really difficult, but remember that's because your emotions actually play a really important role at the very heart of your tests. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has selected a test for you right now and He's invigilating. And that's why it's really important that we no longer look and treat our emotions as inferior aspects of our being. But with that said, remember you can always heal and the way you feel, it can change inshallah. And that's actually the very purpose, remember, of your emotions. That your emotions, they act as this kind of internal compass and it's helping you to navigate through your tests. And that's by signaling to you that something isn't quite right and it's urging you to take the action necessary to fix things. So instead of just fixating all the time on branding your emotions as either bad or good, you know, start to really honor and to appreciate this purposeful gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to you by starting to think of ways, you know, get curious about the messages that it's sending you and strive with a lot of effort to see those actions through that need to be done. You know, please alternatively don't just ignore your emotions and attempt to hide or suppress them or even just settle them, you know, settle for them to be part of who you are now. Because that's going to actually create within you some emotional sicknesses that's going to prevent you from feeling emotional freedom. You know, draw strength from the confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in you. He granted you with the ability and the means to be able to manage your emotions so that you can heal and so that you can find happiness inshallah. Okay, so I hope this episode benefited you and I hope you really enjoyed it. And if you did, then please smash that subscribe button and hit the bell icon as well so that every time I release new videos like this, you're going to get notified. And if you, by the way, think that you know somebody who is struggling with any of the kind of issues we spoke about today, then why not share this video with them so that they can benefit as well, inshallah. And if you have any questions, then you can just post them down below because these videos that I create, these episodes, they're actually inspired by your questions. So I'd love to hear what you have to say. Okay, alhamdulillah, it is an honor to have you part of the Quran Rehab community. So thank you. And until next time, inshallah, I wish you the very best of success on your Quran journey. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. سعيت إني استهديتك فهديت بالقرآن أنا ارتقيت.